Hi, this is Dan Korber, pastor here at Dalton Hill Baptist Church. We're a small Baptist church located in Owosso, Oklahoma. We're small enough to know you, but we're big enough to serve you and for you to serve as well. Our vision is to rescue, restore, and return to service. Rescue a non-believer or a believer who has been hurt or is lost. Restoring them to Christ and fellowship with other believers with the desire that they in turn will help others along their way.
I thought it'd be appropriate to kind of finish our series since we have a different speaker next week. So we've been doing the signs of life. We may have a summary in a couple of weeks, but right now we're on part 4-12, which will be the last one. And since our congregation is getting older, I thought maybe I ought to do one calling Living Out Our Golden Years. Anybody relay? What does it mean when your golden years? Where exactly what age is that? Anybody know? But, you know, I think it's interesting as many of us are looking at retirement soon, or a lot of you already have retired. And the problem about the golden years takes planning, takes faith, takes grace. But what would be some ways that can help us live out our golden years? And I think we can look at it. So I'd like to just look at that, living out our golden years. First one, gold nugget living. How are we going to do it? Anybody want to go digging for some gold? Did you realize there's still a gold fever that's going on in California? People are still digging for gold, and they're still making a living at digging, panning for gold in California. But what about us? I think one that was just brought up to you just now was the one that, the first one I had was just songs of aspiration. I think music can play, and does play, a lot bigger part in our life, or should, than what we look at. You have that, if you remember, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, it makes the statement that we are to teach and admonish one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And psalms can play an enormous part. If it doesn't, how many of you, when you drive your car, just leave the radio off all the time? Why do so many people have their radio on and have different music, and we're constantly switching channels? I don't like that song, I like this song, whatever it might be. But I think songs can really play an enormous part. In fact, one of the songs in your hymn book is a good one to think about. In 549, Higher Ground, you ever looked at the words on it? And I think it's, again, the one we just sang about, It's Well With My Soul. Okay, we know who wrote it, we know the story about how he just lost his kids. Did you look at who wrote the music? The music part was written by a man who basically was on a trip with vacation with his wife, hadn't had one a long time, had a train wreck. He got out, she was trapped inside, and he said, I'm going to go after her. I'd rather die with her than leave without her. Sure enough, he went into the train to save her and died in his very young age. So you think, so often we look at these types of songs and all the stuff, it seems like it's, but hymns and songs of aspiration. Different ones, you know, like I said, everyone has a special song or special group of them. Why is that? Because they minister to you. So that'd be one, I think. I think a second one, besides the songs of aspiration, would be words and works of contemplation. How many times do we have certain words that we have, whether it be scripture or works? How many of you read very much about great men and women of scripture or missionaries? I think one of the things that can really help you, when you start reading biographies and autobiographies of great men and women of scripture or who have walked with the Lord. There's so many that are out there. You know, we have a lot of songs. You know, some of you remember yesterday. You remember Chariots of Fire? Eric Little, have you ever read his story? The movie doesn't do it justice. It really doesn't when you read his story. But he obviously ran the quarter mile and won in the Olympics. The following Sunday, he was supposed to run. The movie says that the 100-yard meter, he never ran that race. He was supposed to run the following week with the relay for England, and they were favored to win, but it happened to be on Sunday, so what do you think he decided to do? Not run. Do you think there's any pressure since you just won that mile and your team is favored to win, and if you don't run, you're not going to win? He then went to become a missionary, in China. 4 years later, the next Olympics, probably don't realize this, China and Japan decided not to participate. They had their own Olympics called the Far East Olympics. He's a missionary. They hear about him running. He was a runner. They asked, would you like to participate? Now, he's a missionary. He's not training. He gets in the race. He wins the race. And he runs the exact same time as the person who did win the Olympics. But he didn't stop to get his medal because he was supposed to speak. He left the race out afterward, ran to the boat to get on the boat to get to his next mission, his speaking engagement. He died in a concentration camp because of the war. There's so many things when you start looking at all the different stories of great men and women in Scripture, what all they did for the Lord. But how many of us are reading those words? Now what happens is there's things out. I was talking to both son-in-laws last night that came by for Gene's birthday, and they're getting into all this books on that you can listen to. Well, how many of us are doing that? As they travel back and forth, I don't, but a lot of, I thought about maybe trying to figure out how to do it. But, you know, they drive a lot. Gus does for his job. Mike drives 30, 40 minutes every morning or back home at night. So they're listening to books while they drive. Well, how many of us would ever get out some great books about missionaries? And I used to love reading all of the. I've read so many books on teenager and on about great missionaries, as well as having them in your home. You read their book and then you have them in your home, and it's amazing you get to talk to them more about it. So, but again, if we haven't, how many of us are willing to consider? You think about it, some of the words, you know, James, consider it all joy, my brother, in the kind of various troubles. What do you have in 1 Peter 5, 7? Cast all your cares on him, what? He cares for you. Hebrews 11, 5, he'll never leave you, nor what? 13:5, nor forsake you. I think it's important for us to the words and works to contemplate, to really think about it. The third one, what about time of meditation? Look over it. I think it's interesting. See if this really fits you. Psalms 119, obviously the longest chapter of the Bible, but also is dealing with the Word of God. And then in Psalms, we've said before, verses that you have, there's a little Hebrew alphabet symbol, and basically it goes from A to Z. You notice that every eight verses. It's interesting, the author, you think about it through the Holy Spirit, but it's interesting. So every verse from verse 1 to 8 starts with A. And then in verse 9 down to the next, everyone would start with B. Now, you think about it, and that's a lot of meditating to think about how you can do that with the Holy Spirit's help. But I think a time of meditation, look in verse 72, and then also in 127. Notice in verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Those of you looking at retirement, what would you rather have, the Word of God or a whole bunch of money to retire with? I mean, that's a good idea. You know, if we are looking at retirement, do I really care more about the Word of God and having it in my heart, or do I care more about having a retirement plan or whatever it might be? I think it's a good one to look at. The times of meditation, you know, what about in 127, same chapter, or same Psalms 119, verse 127. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. What is people telling you today with our economy? The best thing to be investing in is what? Precious metals. And he's saying, hey, the Word of God is better than precious metals. I think it's interesting, again, so we want to have this, how many of us are surrounding ourselves and really looking at great songs of aspiration, great works and words of contemplation about great men and women who've gone before us. And then also times of meditation. Think about Psalms 1. Remember it says that we are, when we rise, we walk, or sit, anything we're doing, we're meditating on the Word of God. I heard a sermon, probably the greatest sermon I ever heard was almost 50 years ago by Al Platt, a missionary, who spoke on Psalms 1. And I remember him, I heard him actually give this message on three different occasions, three different places. But I remember listening to him explain meditation. Back then, that's when the little jumping bean would be at the grocery store. You'd go and you see it jumping all over. And that's basically what meditate is. How long before that thing hits every single side of that little box? If you're meditating on the Word of God, how much are you allowing it to go to where it hits every area and every part of your life and everything? You're meditating and hits and hits, goes all over. And how many of us are really allowing the Word of God to, or do we have certain rooms and certain closets that He's not allowed to have access to? Really to meditate on it. And how many of us meditate on things? How many of us are meditating on our problems? How many of us are meditating on what somebody had to say about us, or didn't say about us, or whatever it might be? We meditate a whole lot more on the things we shouldn't be meditating on, instead of meditating on the things that we should. So I think it's important. Songs of aspiration. Does music ever change your mood?
Yes.
I remember when I played basketball and in college, we had a certain song we played before. Now, what kind of music do you think it was? Do you think it was Mozart or something like that? No, and I like Mozart and like those, but not when I'm going out to try to get, you know, pumped up for a basketball game. So music has an, you know, amazing deal. Also, then, like I said, the works, just, if you don't read anything or haven't read anything about missionaries, I challenge you to start reading about some great men and women, what all they gave up, what all they did for the Lord. It's amazing when you look at what all they did. What about in... So you have then also times of meditation. The fourth one is, how about service with a smile? How do we do service, but it's not with a smile? That's one thing I like when you go to Chick-fil-A. How do they always talk to you? What do they say? They have a certain saying they say every time. What is it? When they go to serve you, do they say anything about, it's my pleasure? How many times do we... When we go to serve people, we say, well, it's been my pleasure. You know? When you start mouthing things, too, it can become a reality. But people can see when you really are serving with a smile. I think it's interesting, service with a smile. I think in Mark chapter 10, remember, it says, the greatest among you is he who serves, and know what it say about Christ. The Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. When Jesus came, his whole purpose for coming was to serve. Most of us, is our whole purpose for living in our golden years to serve or to be served. And I you know, look to retire, and you're looking for all your different, want to travel and do all that. But I think a lot of that is that for me, or is that for serving other people? A good example has been out a number of years ago. How many of you ever saw Schindler's List? Ever see it? If you remember the story, it's obviously during the Nazi concentration camp, and he was had an ammunition deal that he was doing for the Nazis, getting paid for it, and the money he got, then he was buying Jews and buying their freedom. And he would set them free, and then he also would sabotage some of the ammunition, you know, where it wouldn't work like it was supposed to. But anyway, but at the end of the movie, when he goes to let them go and let his foreman, Jewish person, gave all their freedom to him, what did he say? He looks at his automobile and says what?
I could have done more.
I could have done more. Why did I keep this? I could have bought 10 more. He has another piece of jewelry, whatever, and he looks at it and says, why did I keep that? I could have bought one. Well, how about you and I, with the service with a mile? What could I, is there something I can do different to serve more? You know, Paul was what? You think about him in Philippians. For me to live is Christ, and what? Die is gain. How many of us really feel that way? I think it's important when you look at it. Yeah, service with a smile. So again, how do I serve? How many people serve very grudgingly? And again, you'll know it. You'll see it real easy. The fifth one I like to think about is, what about seeing as Jesus sees? If you remember when the rich person made the statement, you remember, you know, who's my neighbor, when Jesus was telling him you need to love your neighbor as yourself. And remember, he then gives the Great Samaritan, the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. Remember the priest and the Levite go by? Do they see him? they seem, well, notice then nothing happens. The Samaritan comes by and says he felt compassion. He there went to help. He not only, you know, bound up his wounds, healed him. He then takes him, remember, to the inn and gives the innkeeper money and says, when I come back, I'll then repay you, pay whatever it is. Now, he was not going to get anything from it. But I think it's interesting, all three saw the person, but only one helped. So if we're seeing as Jesus sees, I think we have to really look at it. You look at it, and I think it's interesting, when Jesus saw them, he remember it said, talking about the Israel nation, he said he saw them, that they were sheep without what?
Shepherd.
He then looks out and says he had compassion because they hadn't eaten and they were faint when he fed the multitude. We need to feed them. He looks at the one when he children are, whether it be son or a daughter, to the more than one occasion, and sees they need healing, and he heals them. Sees it. Now, some of us are looking at like Jesus does. We see a need, and I can meet the need, and Lord's laying on my heart to meet the need, and we do. It's interesting, I didn't realize, the same thing happened in John 11, when Jesus goes, if you remember, to Mary and Martha's house after Lazarus had died. Why did he wait 3 days? There is a reason.
To show that he was dead?
Yes, because the Jewish belief at the time was the spirit hovered for 3 days before he left. So if Jesus had come when they wanted him to, or just earlier, they would have said what? Spirit's still there. When he waits that long, their belief was it's gone. Did Jesus know he was going to raise him from the dead? Why then did Jesus weep? Because he saw the sorrow they were in. How many of us see somebody else's sorrow causing us to weep? Do you realize humans are the only ones that have three types of tears? Did you know you have three types of tears? You have what's called basal tears. Basal tears is a lubricant that flushes your eye and has lubricant. Some of you are have what's called dry. That's because you're not producing enough basal tears. You have also what's called reflex tears. What happens when you cut an onion? Okay. That's the tears that flow in response to pain or to an irritant. But then you have emotional tears, which only humans have. Jesus had emotional tears when he saw they were in pain. How many of us have emotional tears for somebody else? It's important. Margaret, when she explained it to me what was going on with Laura, had emotional tears today. I understand it. How many of us have that for other people? People can really see it, and then we do something about it. So if I want to see as Jesus, it's not just simple facts. We have emotions to go with it. So think about it. When was the last time you had it? This is an interesting statement I read by William Penn, obviously the Quaker, where Pennsylvania is named after. Though our Savior's passion is over, his compassion is not. And who are we supposed to be on this earth? We're supposed to be little Christians, little Christ. So if we don't have, if people don't see the compassion of Christ on this earth, who's to blame? So the only way that's going to work is seeing as Jesus sees. And I think that's what happens. Anyone's taken a mission trip or done anything, you come back and you're so gung-ho in what happens to the people you talk to so often. You get frustrated with them because they don't have the passion for what's going on. But one of golden years, remember, songs of aspiration. Words and works of inspiration or contemplation, thinking about other people, what they've gone through. Times of meditation, and you have service with a smile. Seeing as Jesus sees. Last one I like to look at or think about is leaving a legacy. How do you want to leave a legacy? You really want to leave one. Now think about that. In John chapter 13, you remember Jesus 34 and 35, what does he say? A new commandment I give unto you, that you what? Love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know you are my disciples, if what? Okay, so we need to have a purposeful design. A purposeful design. We're going to be noted by our love. How many of you, I'm going to pick on Phil here because I think he might know this. Phil, have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Herbert Eaton and Forrest Lawn? 1917, he wanted to change the way people viewed cemeteries. Today, his cemetery is visited in Southern California by over 1 million people a year. Now, how many people want to go and visit a cemetery? You say that, how many of you on 4th of July go by Floral Haven? Yep. You go by, how many of you go by because you see all the flags? Well, what he did with this purpose of design, it's 600 acres, and he made it a place of refuge and everything else. He even had special buildings built. The Polish painter, and I think Rosemary would appreciate this, painting on canvas, and he painted it for the World's Fair, and they couldn't, they had no building to put it in, so they never got to even be displayed. This man talking about Hubert Eaton bought it. It's 195 feet tall, 45 feet wide of the crucifixion. He also does one of the resurrection that was slightly, it was smaller. You think of almost 20 stories high? How would you like to paint that on a canvas and then have a special building built to house it? You have, can you imagine trying to get it there? People come from all over the world to see it. Purposeful design. How many of us have a purposeful design with our life that people are going to remember? We have a lot of things we can do. I think it's interesting. What do we want? You know, we have that. What's Christ laying on your lap, on your heart? How many of us say, no, I can't do it? Okay, you can't do it on your own, but if he's laying it on your heart, he's telling you what? I'll give you the ability to do it. So I think one is a purposeful design. Second one, what about a purposeful love? Purposeful love. You know, in 1 John 3, verse 16, remember it says, no greater love is this than someone who lays down his life for his brother. How many of us are going to be asked to lay down our life for somebody more than likely? That's why then in verse 17 it says, if you see a brother or sister in need and you have the means and do not help them, how can the love of God abide in your heart? Love by word and in deed. So purposeful love. I was reading about this and Mike Overton was going to get his haircut. Any of you done that this week? He's going across the bridge. So let's say he's going across Bird Creek. Going to get his haircut. He sees a lady putting her foot up over the top of the rail to jump. All right, you have an appointment. What are you going to do? He slams on his brakes, jumps out of his car and grabs her. And all she can keep saying is, nobody loves me, nobody loves me. While he's holding her and talking to her, her phone rings twice. One's her husband, telling about his love and why he wants her or whatever. The other's the daughter, calling the same thing. How many times do people make things a lot worse and they don't see it? Elijah, remember, thought he was the only one left. But purposeful love. It's not my interest. It's not my concern. I have nothing to do with them. You just keep right on going. And she's living today because of what? One person decided to stop and get involved. And I know today it's getting harder and harder with like what goes on in the subway and everything else that people are so scared to get involved. But again, one I think said it's when to leave a legacy was, you know, it's basically a purposeful design, or a purpose of love. I'll give you another one on purposeful love. A young lady by the name of Christina. She was in China before the takeover, right at the takeover of the Chinese. So, how many? Well, her parents wanted her to go get the best education. The best education was at your Christian missionary school. So they sent her to the school along with a friend and stuff. But don't get caught up in all that Christian stuff. She came to know Christ. Comes home with the Bible. When they heard about her coming to know Christ, they sent a relative. The relative gets her, hands her a knife and a rope, and says, basically, end your life on the way home and do your family honor. She does it. All she does is love them. They take her Bible, her brother does, and tears it up, and does all kinds of things. She She just kept loving him, kept her mouth shut. How easy would that be? A young teenage girl. It ended up being 55 members of her family came to know Christ. And a brother and stuff that tore the Bible said, you've got something you've never had before, and we treated you so poorly, I want you. That's why I said purposeful love. It won't make any sense to you. It doesn't show anything if everybody treats you perfectly. Because that's easy to love people when they love you back and they do what you want. Purposeful love is when Jesus loved us. Did he die for the, you know, you look at the ones that mocking at him and then turn around asking for salvation. Father, forgive them. You know, how many of us would do that? If you had the ability, which he did, to zap every one of them, you could. What about personal choices? Look over in 1 Peter for a moment, chapter 2. Personal choices. Notice starting in verse 21, 1 Peter 2, 21. For you have been called for this purpose. They were suffering. Since Christ also suffered you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps. How do we want to suffer like Christ did? Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in him. Then notice 23. And while being reviled, he did not revile in a term. While suffering, he did not utter no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Go over to chapter 3 and verse 8. To sum it up, that all be harmonious, empathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Personal choices. How many of us like to respond correctly when we are treated incorrectly? You have the same thing in Colossians 4, know how to speak in verse 6. How to speak to each situation with grace, seasoned with salt. How many of us know how? Is that really? It's a personal choice. So if I want to leave a legacy you're going to leave when people say your name or whatever, what do you want to be remembered for? And the last one, I think, is a permanent outlook. Hebrews 11, remember it says in 25 and 26, that Moses gave up passing pleasures of Egypt because he's looking for the eternal reward. I think when people are thinking about retirement so much right now, people are thinking about really what? A very short period of our life. Am I thinking about 10 years or 20 years? Or do I think about eternity? Nothing wrong with planning for the 10 or 20 years, but eternity is a whole lot more important. And so think about it. What are your eyes focused on? Remember in Matthew 6? Where your treasure is, there will what?
Your heart be also.
Heart be also. So just then, we have them give it to you again. Remember living out your golden years? How many have some songs we can help you listen to? If you haven't found a station or different ones, Sunday morning, there's four different ones I listen to coming up here. And I'll switch back and forth. As soon as they go to a commercial or whatever, we can go to another one. You ought to have that on all of them. They can help inspire you. Words and works of conflict. Always be reading. If you don't have time to read or can't, get the audio. You can do them through, I don't know if you realize this, you can do them through your local library. It's free. Also, then, what about times of meditation? What am I thinking about? Because when you're thinking about everything that's negative all the time, how is that going to affect your attitude? Instead of be thinking about what all God's doing and has done for you. Service with a smile. Who wants to be around somebody who's always a grump all the time? You know? Nobody likes to be around people like that. We want to have where people want to come over, want to do things. Every time the grandkids leave, they want to come to Gigi's house. That's what they call Gigi. Because that's where the party is and that's where they want to go, and they cry every time they go have to leave. They've been there 3 nights and the last 3 nights. They're there every night. I probably go to bed. I'm too tired. I can't stay up anymore. Time of meditation. What are we meditating on? I must, like you said, also seeing as Jesus sees. How do we really see as Jesus sees? And then purposeful design. It could be a floral haven that God is laying on our heart. Just a piece of land. What's the most famous golf course in the United States, perhaps, or one of the most, the biggest tournament, possibly the Masters? How'd that get started? Anybody know? Probably the most gifted golfer, one of the most gifted golfers, is the one that designed it. He couldn't play anymore, gave up golf in order to become a medical doctor, and he's the one that helped design that course out of Atlanta, the Masters. But when you look at it, it wasn't a golf course when you look at it. But it's a golf course today. You and I can have a golf course. We can help start planning, too, if we so choose. So we think about it. Bobby?
Bobby Jones.
There you go. Bobby Jones. He had a medical condition in which he couldn't continue. He was in so much pain, he had to take all kinds of painkillers to play golf. So he quit playing. One of the greatest golfers ever.
We'd love for you to come and visit with us and fellowship with us. We're located at 8263 North Owosso Expressway, which is on the east side of Highway 169 North, between 76th and 86th Street North. We have coffee and fellowship from 8:30 to 9 Sundays, followed by Sunday school for all ages from 9 to 9:45, and our Sunday morning worship service is from 10 to 11. We likewise have a Wednesday night service for all ages from 7 to 8. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, and in every way the Lord be with you all the time.